Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church, a place to find refreshing faith in Jesus Christ. Visit us in Doncaster, East Melbourne. You're always welcome here.
This morning, the word of the Lord is being read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, commencing at verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, and in favour with God and man.
Good morning again. My name is Pedro. I'm one of the ministers here, and it's such a privilege to go through this Lent series together, Questions of Hope. As Lady mentioned earlier, we have entered the season of Lent, and in the midst of our busy life, Jesus invites us to slow down, which is a hard thing to do, to slow down and allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. But more important than observing this season is understanding why we do so. Why do we slow down? Why do we invite the Holy Spirit to search our hearts? Well, because we are hoping for change, for growth. Not just any change, but a deep change in our spiritual journey. In our relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ, and in our Christian character to be more like Jesus. If we go through this season of Lent without this desire, then like any other season, it will simply pass, and next year it will come again unchanged. I want to ask you a question. Where will you be in your faith and your relationship with Jesus this time next year? Some of us will definitely experience changes in life, either growing in appearance, height, or even sideways. Some will move to new places, new homes, or new job opportunities. Some will become grandparents. I was not expected to share this, but because I've already shared in 8 a.m., but like Lely and I will be becoming parents soon. So, like, thank you. So, thank you. Next. This time next year, lots of changes for everybody in different ways. But what about our faith? Our understanding of God's character and His will in our lives. Will we grow in our trust and love for Jesus? Will we grow in the hope that we have in Jesus? This is why we hold this season. This is why we have faith in Jesus. Our sins are forgiven, and every day we walk through this journey to become more like our Savior. This is why we search our hearts, we repent, we fast, and it is not just about the tradition, but about the hope of transformation. We surrender to Jesus, asking Him to shape us, renew us, and bring us closer to Him. As we prepare our hearts for the joy of this upcoming Easter, which we celebrate His resurrection. So this year, we are walking through the Lent by exploring questions of hope, and the question that Jesus asked people, and the question that people asked Jesus, and most likely the question you might have in your heart asking God. Today we begin with a question Jesus asked as a 12-year-old in the temple. Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? His words challenge us today. Where are we searching for hope? Where are we searching for Jesus? Do we recognize where Jesus truly is? Jesus' visit to the temple is a familiar story, and from the time Jesus was an 8-day-old baby to a 30-year-old man at baptism, we are told very little about his life, except for this story in the Gospel of Luke. Among all four Gospels, only Luke gives us a glimpse of Jesus as a teenager. He tells us the story of 12-year-old Jesus staying behind in the temple, amazing the teachers with his wisdom, and his story is in chapter 2 of Luke for a purpose, because we believe that every single story, every single word in the Word of God has a purpose for us. The story takes place 12 years after the first Christmas. Mary and Joseph were righteous, devout Jews who followed the Jewish laws. In verse 41, Luke tells us that every year, Mary and Joseph traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover to celebrate God's deliverance of his people from Egypt. The journey to Jerusalem for Mary and Joseph each year would have taken about 3 or 4 days on foot. And they traveled from Nazareth, a distance of approximately 145 kilometers away. It was a long journey, but showing their deep faith. The Jewish law required men to attend this celebration each year, but whole families weren't obligated. Yet Mary and Joseph chose to bring Jesus along each year. But why did Luke include only this particular story here? And not the ones that when Jesus was 11 or 10 or 15, because Jesus was 12 years old here, a significant age in Jewish culture. At 13, a Jewish boy becomes a son of the commandments, a full member of the synagogue, which means considered as an adult. By then, many boys had memorized much of the Old Testament. So this may seem surprising to us today in Australia, because today 13-year-olds are not considered mature enough. But in many cultures and in the past generation, children had to grow quickly because their livelihoods depends on it. After the feast, they began their journey home, assuming Jesus was with their caravan of relatives and friends. After a day of traveling, they realized he was missing. It might seem unbelievable that they lost track of him, but traveling in large groups was something common in that time, and women and children often went ahead of the caravan while men followed behind. Mary likely thought Jesus was with his father Joseph, and Joseph assumed he was with Mary, but in reality, he had stayed behind in Jerusalem. Now here, imagine the panic of these parents. They searched for him for 3 days with questions in their mind that where is he sleeping? What is he eating? Is he safe? So here Luke tells us that it took 3 days for Mary and Joseph to find Jesus. Do you know another 3 days in the Bible of the absence? Yes, of course. This foreshadows another 3 days of absence. Jesus' death and resurrection. The only other time that 3 days appear in the gospel. When Jesus, after Jesus' death, before his resurrection. So Mary and Joseph finally find him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, asking and answering questions. You might be asking that why Jesus is asking questions. He's the one that should have all the answers. But this reveals Jesus' humanity. Though divine, he had to learn and grow as well. So everyone was amazed at his understanding. Mary and Joseph were amazed too, but also frustrated. Mary spoke first. Child, why have you done this to us? So here you can hear the emotion in her words. It's the same way a parent might react after finding a lost child. Relief mixed with frustration. Well, I wonder if you've ever been lost as a child. Raise your hand if you have. Oh, a lot of you. I'm thankful that you are found finally. Or if you have experienced the fear of losing your own child, even for a couple of minutes in a playground or in a crowd. So if you have, then you can understand the fear and anxiety that comes with it. And especially in those unsafe environment or societies or countries. 35 years ago, this is me, when I was 5. And I actually, my mother took me to a crowded bazaar, as you see, which is very different from the bazaar that we have here in south of Tehran. A 25 minutes walk for an adult, of course, from my father's shop. In the middle of shopping, I let go of her hand and got lost easily. My mom searched but couldn't find me. So she ran to my father's shop for help because, of course, that she didn't have access to the mobile in that time. My father sent his friend on motorcycle to search for me in that area while I wandered the bazaar trying to find my mom. After about 15 minutes of searching for my mother, I became disappointed and lost hope of finding her. Eventually, I decided to walk back to my father's shop, which was a big mission and task for me to do. And the neighborhood was unsafe, and child abduction were common in that area. So my parents were terrified, so was I. When my parents finally returned to the shop and saw me sitting on a small chair in the shop, I still remember their face. The pure relief on their faces, but I could also sense their overwhelming worry and exhaustion. My mom said this to me. I thought I would never find you and had lost you forever. So in my story, my parents were filled with the same fear, same anxiety, because they didn't know where I was or what had happened to me. But with Jesus is what different. Mary and Joseph were filled with worry. However, Jesus knew exactly where he was and what his purpose was as a 12-year-old teenager. While his parents searched anxiously, he was confidently engaging in his mission, even though his parents didn't fully understand it. He shows a deep desire to know God's word. He wasn't passively sitting in the temple. and listening to others, but actively engaging, asking thoughtful questions. When Mary asks, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxious and searching for you." Then Jesus responds, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" Jesus responds not with an explanation, but instead with another question, which is the key to this passage. Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? His response here actually wasn't to dismiss his parents or to ignore their feelings, is to point them towards a deeper understanding of who he was and why he was there. He gently corrected Mary. As you see, she had said, "Your father and I," and referring to Joseph, but Jesus was making it clear. His true father was God. His mission, even at 12 years old, was to be about his father's business. So Mary and Joseph did not fully understand his word at the time, but Mary treasured them in her heart, just as she had done when the shepherds and angels spoke of her newborn baby. So Jesus returned home with them and was obedient. He grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and people. In fact, Jesus was never lost. He knew exactly where he belonged, and it was Mary and Joseph who needed to grow in their understanding. Well, growing up is not just about the size or the age, is about discovering who we are and where we belong. Growing up isn't just about the circumstances that we're going through, it's about deepening our relationship with God and reordering our priorities in our lives. So Jesus led his parents to see beyond their earthly home, their earthly expectations as parents. He calls us to move beyond our comfort zone into Father's house, into the expectation that God has from us. So Jesus invites each of us to leave our earthly hope, to leave it behind, and step into God's home every day. Let me ask you a question. What do you need to let go of to follow Jesus more fully during this season of Lent? This is something personal between you and God. What do you need to let go of to show your true relationship, the true heart that you have for Jesus? Jesus doesn't just ask us to follow him. He finds us when even we're lost and leads us into Father's house. You know why? Yes, you do. Because he loves us. Because that is where we belong. Mary and Joseph's anxious search for Jesus reflects the deep longing that many believers, many Christians experience when seeking clarity and reassurance in their faith journey, in their lives. Yet in Jesus' response, we find hope. Hope that even in confusion, God's plan is unfolding. And he's where he is meant to be. So in many cultures, like Iranian cultures and or Middle Eastern cultures, questioning, especially in matters of faith, authority, or tradition, is considered something uncomfortable or sometimes disrespectful or even a sign of weakness. I'm not sure if you have felt this so far or not. So you hesitate to ask a question because you feel of being judged of asking that question, and you stop. So in Australia's individualistic and independent society, people often hesitate to ask deep questions about the purpose of life or hope, the hope for future, because they fear appearing weak. Rather than admitting they are uncertainty in life, they prefer to present themselves as the strong ones and self-sufficient. Yet this can leave them struggling in silence when faced with doubt or hardship. So research from Beyond Blue and the Are You Okay campaign highlights that many, many people struggle in silence rather than opening up their hearts or asking questions about the doubts and the challenges that they have in their life or the uncertainties. So a 2015 survey by Beyond Blue found that 1 in 5 Australians thought people with anxiety and challenges were just faking it. 1 in 5. Which shows the negative attitude and the stereotype towards getting help. So people are scared to ask for help, to open their hearts. And Christians, of course, are not excluded from this struggle at all. Many believers hesitate to ask deep questions, especially if they are believers for more than 5 or 10 years. And they hesitate to ask questions about faith, suffering, or the future, or the hope that they have in their lives. I have personally seen many Christians who struggle deeply with their faith, not because they didn't love God, but because they had unresolved questions. Some had no one to walk with them, no one to help them or support them process their struggles, and some others close their own hearts, afraid to seek help and answers. So fearing judgment from others or worrying that it may show a lack of faith is something that is common in many people. And this leads some to lose their hope altogether. So over time, their hope faded, not because God was absent, but because they didn't have the support or courage to seek for answers. However, just as Jesus engaged in deep conversation in the temple, we too should embrace questioning as a path to greater faith and hope. It's not a sign of weakness. If we don't bring our questions, our concerns to God and those who God placed in our lives, we risk becoming spiritually isolated. And you know what? The enemy wants us to believe that we are alone. We are isolated. He wants us to feel that nobody understands us. He wants us to feel that questioning is a sign of weakness. But the Bible shows us that questioning God is not a lack of faith. It's actually the part of the journey. David cried out in his pains and uncertainty to God. Job questioned God in his suffering, yet God met him in the midst of all these challenges. The disciples often ask and doubted and ask questions, and Jesus patiently guided them through their journey. And here in the temple, Jesus is engaging with the conversation, asking questions, answering questions. So the way that we live out our faith, our Christian faith, is directly connected to our understanding of God, His ways, His plans for us, and the hope that we have for future. If we refuse to seek understanding, we risk living a faith that is shallow, superficial, easily shaken by life circumstances. And of course, We don't always have all the answers, and because some mysteries belong to God alone. But we can strengthen our faith by opening up our hearts to God, to the Lord, and to those who God has put in our lives to help us and support us. So addressing doubts and uncertainty is part of our Christian journey. It's the beauty of Christian journey. When we face with difficult questions, not just theological complex questions, but a deep question about who we are, who God is, and what is His role and plan in our lives. When we face with this difficult question, it is the hope that we have in Jesus that anchors us and allows us to face uncertainty with faith. So there are certain seasons in each of our lives that we have experienced that, like Mary, we might ask God that, why have you treated us like this? God, why have you treated us, treated me, treated my family like this? And Jesus responds, because I love you. Because I love you. I love you enough to grow you up, to find you where you are lost, and to bring you with me into the Father's home. Well, asking questions and seeking answers shapes our faith and the way that we live our faith out. So in our reading today, we see 12-year-old Jesus asking questions of the teachers. The teachers asking him questions. Mary asking Jesus questions. And Jesus asking Mary a reflective, a deep question. Now let me ask you again a question. This time next year, where will you be in your journey with God? This time next year. We don't want to be the same people. How do you hope to grow in your faith? In the Apostle Creed that we sometimes we say together at the church to affirming our Christian faith, we declare Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and one day He will come to judge the living and the dead. Right? So knowing that Jesus reigns at the right hand of the Father and will one day to judge the living and the dead, how will this shape our faith? How will this shape our relationship that we have today? How will this shape our perspective in our lives, in our work conditions, when we go to school, when we go to university, when we are related to people as our colleagues? How will this shape our faith? Well, it should fill us with hope and shapes how we live. How we live this life. The promise of Christ's return gives us hope in times of hardship, uncertainty, and knowing that one day He will bring justice, peace, and restoration. So in verse 52, which is the last verse of this part, we read that, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus Himself, as fully God and fully human, He grew in wisdom, in physical and also in favor with God and people. And today we can grow in these areas too. Growing in wisdom means deepening our understanding of God. It could be investing more time in reading the Bible, the Word of God, praying and learning from others to be humble and let God change us. Growing in stature isn't just about physical, but also emotional and personal growth. Facing challenges with faith and taking care of ourselves as well as the temple of God. Growing in favor with God and people means strengthening our relationship with God through prayer, worship, while also showing love and kindness when we walk out of this building, when we go to our neighborhood, to showing our love to others and those around us. So brothers and sisters, no matter where you are in your faith right now, in your journey, we should always remember that God is with us every step of the way. We are not alone. He is faithful to guide us, to lead us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, and to help us grow into the people He's called us to be. Where are you searching for hope right now? What is in your mind? What are you hoping for during this season of Lent? Well, God's word challenges us today as we search for hope in our lives. Mary and Joseph searched anxiously for their missing 12-year-old, hoping to find him safe. That was their hope. But Jesus was hoping they would truly find out who he is, who he belongs to, and what his mission is. So we know that every child is a source of hope for his or her parents. But it was Jesus' mission and identity as the Son of the Father that was the true hope for his parents and, of course, for humanity and for us today. In the same way, we often search for hope in life's uncertainties, and yet Jesus invites us to find true and lasting hope in him, knowing who he is and trusting in his purpose for us. So in a moment, we are going to prepare to come to the Holy Communion table together as a reminder that Jesus died for us, that Jesus resurrected from the dead, and Jesus is alive and is with us today. But I want to invite you to take a moment to reflect on this passage that we read today and the message that we heard. We are going to prepare our heart for the confession prayer that we are going to say together. And I invite you to let the Holy Spirit search your heart right now, especially in this season of Lent. If God reveals something that needs to change in your life, whether it's a sin, a habit that distances you from God, or disappointment, or maybe a broken relationship, that this relationship needs restoration, or even the deep question that you have right now in your heart. Bring it before him with an open heart. So the confession is not just about admitting our sins before God. It's about drawing near to God with this assurance that our sins are forgiven, that God is merciful and compassionate. And as we confess, we hold on to this assurance. So we come to the table not with fear or disappointment, but in faith, receiving his mercy, presence, and the hope that we have in Jesus. Compassion and forgiveness belong to the Lord our God. Though we have rebelled and wandered far off, let us then ask for mercy, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Let's say together. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins. Strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.